All right, morning. Today's daf is daf Pe'alef in Tvachim, 81. We're back a little bit behind. A short amount of time yesterday, so let's go. We have a work cut out for ourselves today. A lot to get done, a lot to cover. It's one topic, though. That's the good news. But still, just a lot about this one topic. So again, let me just frame the question of the Gemara, because it's really one question that's going to dominate the entire daf today, and that's the issue of Yesh Bila, whether or not there's a blending. The two liquids get together. So I mentioned yesterday, the oil and vinegar get together, so they remain separate, right? Different densities, different viscosity, they always remain separate. Oil and vinegar, oil and water, you know the expressions. Okay, so that's fine. So and I don't think the Gemara would entertain for a moment, although I've been wrong in the past many times. I don't think the Gemara is going to entertain the discussion about oil and vinegar, whether or not there's Bila, whether there's a uniform blending by oil and vinegar. However, when two liquids, which are the same liquids, get together, is there going to be a uniform blending? And we're not talking about putting it in a blender and pressing the button. I guess we would then say there is uniform blending. We're talking about where they just simply got mixed together accidentally, on purpose. We're talking cases we speak about generally are accidentally. Is there going to be a uniform blending? So, as I mentioned yesterday, as we're going to repeat today, it's a machlokas, seems to be a machlokas amongst the Tanaim, amongst the Amorayim. Whether or not Yesh Bila or Ein Bila, whether there is or there is not blending. So, obviously, our Mishnah has a lot to say about it, because our Mishnah talks about bloods getting mixed together, and then figuring out how to do the applications on the Mizbeach, with these bloods that got blended together. And it seems from our Mishnah is assuming that there is a blending. Okay, we'll come back, we'll analyze our Mishnah later on this morning. But we'll start off with a Mishnah and Para. Mishnayos and Para deal with the Para Aduma. And the first Mishnah of the ninth Perek of Para discusses an issue of where there was a mixture of water and water. One water was the Mechatas, which is a water that's designated to be sprinkled on the person who's a Tamei Mace in order to make him Tahor. You dip the Azov, the hyssop, into the water, and then you give him a spritz, and you only need to give him one spritz, and that you do on the third day, and you do that on the seventh day, and bingo, he's Tahor. That takes care of his Tumas Mace. The Mishnah, first Mishnah, the ninth parak of Para, deals with the following scenario. What if there's a little bit of tap water or any collected body of water that gets mixed up with the mei chatas? Thank you. With the mei chatas. What do you do with that water? So it's a machlokas between the Tanaim. So the opinion of Rebbe Lazar says, yazeh shtei hazaos. So, okay. So it doesn't, by the way, the Mishnah Parah doesn't say how much tap water got mixed in. In fact, if you read the Mishnah Parah, which we'll do in just a moment, it says any amount of tap water. Okay? So according to Rebbe Lazar, you take your azov, you dip it in once, you spritz him, and repeat. You dip it in a second time, you spritz them, and that's the solution to the problem. Why that's the solution to the problem, we'll see in just a moment. That's the solution to the problem. And the Chachamim say, no. Chachamim Poslim, they say the whole water has to be thrown out. It's terrible, terrible waste of mechatas, of water which is really valuable, extraordinarily valuable, but they say you have to throw it out. Now, the Gemara goes through analysis of both of these positions. So, let's start again. We did this part yesterday, but we'll do it again today because it really sets us up for our whole daf today. So, let's start with the Mishnah. Tanan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah over there.
You say any amount. It couldn't be any amount. It has to be a little amount. Not regular water.
Right.
It couldn't be, a lot.
Okay. All right. So, again, lot to figure out. Tanan Hasan, we're right in the middle of the page. We're on Pei Amud Aleph. We're right smack dab in the middle. We're going to quote this Mishnah in part. Tanan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah over there. Slochis enough l'socha maim kol shehu. If you have slochis, a container of mechatas, where any amount of tap water goes in, so Rabbi Lazar ma yazish te'azos. So the Rabbi Lazar's position is okay. So now you're going to have to double dip, and here I literally mean it. You're going to have to double dip. You're going to go in once, right, spritz, and then go in again, dip again, and spritz a second time. When normally, of course, you only have to do it one time, but here, because of the added tap water, you're going to have to do it a second time. Okay, yet to be analyzed, the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim say no, you're going to throw it all out. Now, it's no good, so it's all disqualified. Now, Bishlam al-Rabban, and now the Gemara starts off like this. The Chacham's position, I get it. I understand the Chacham's position because, and as I mentioned yesterday, there are three variables in this discussion. So follow with me, because we're going to cover every one of the variables. Chacham and Rabban and Sarvi Yesh Bila. First of all, we'll say that according to the Chacham, there is uniform blending. So that means that according to the Chachamim, every time you dip your azov, there's going to be representation from both waters, both the Mechatzis water and the tap water, because he holds Yesh Bila, there's a uniform blending. Fine. Two, Hazat Tzricha Shir, another big machlokus in the world of sprinkling of the Paraduma, is there a certain amount that needs to be sprinkled on the guy? Right? There's an opinion out there that says that there's a Shir, that there's a requisite amount, and there's an opinion that says, no, there's no Shir. The one who holds that there's a Shir, the Shir is the amount that the entire bulb of the top of the Azov is going to be able to hold water. Okay? It's not a kezias, and it's not a revius, but okay, that's a shear. Right? The amount of water that's going to be on the entire bulb of the azo. The hazot tzricha shear. Now there's a shear, there's a requirement. The ein mitzarf on lahazos. And the third variable is like this. Look, when I dip my hyssop into the water, so some of the water was mechata, some of it was tap water. Okay, because we hold bila. Because we hold that there's uniform blending. So that means that when I dipped when I sprinkled them the first time, I didn't get the shear. And now, so what do I say? Oh, so I'll go back in again. Problem is that I can't combine spritz number one and spritz number two to make a full shear. Meaning the shear has to come in one spritz. Meaning that the water has to be in totality mechatzas water. That's the only way I'm going to get the full shear onto the azov the first time around. So there's nothing you can do. It's done. Meaning, so according to the Chachamim, there is no solution. I can't filter out the tap water. There's just no way to do it. The two waters look exactly the same. And so therefore, unfortunately, the water's got to go. Good. So the Gemara says, I understand the Chachamim's position, assuming Yesh Bila, there is blending, assuming there is a required shear, and assuming that I can't combine spritz number one with spritz number two, so I can never make that shear. All right. So now that you put all three of those things together, again, assuming A, B, and C, so we do understand the position of the Chacham, and there's a way to explain it. Ela, Rabbi Elazar, my Kasavar. But the Gemara is now going to set us up for a real struggle. How do you understand Rabbi Elazar's position, which is go in, take out water, spritz once, go back in, spritz twice? How do you understand the position of Rabbi Eliezer? And the Gemara explains to us why it's such a struggle. Mm-hmm. So first of all, if you assume that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there is no blending. There's no blending according to Rabbi Eliezer. So that means when you go in with the hyssop, the water is not representative. The water on the hyssop is not representative of what's in the bowl. It may be that it's only tap water that made it to the hyssop. It may be. So that may happen the first time, and it may happen the second time as well.
No, but the thing is that
there's no quality control. You have no idea what went on the azov.
But this is similar to other rules. But in principle, if the things don't mix, you bring with the bloods or limbs, you bring two cups of each.
Ultimately,
one is going to nullify the other one.
Right. That you can just keep doing it until you've exhausted all the possible.
In a way, he's being consistent with his own principle of bringing two in case, even if they don't mix.
Okay.
So that one will cover the other one, and
perhaps. But again, the Gemara is just setting us up, and we'll get to solutions in just a moment. But let's just first understand the problem. So number one, if you don't hold that there's uniform blending, so you dip in the first time, you may only get tap water, and you dip in the second time, same problem may occur. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to have to start off by saying that he also agrees to the concept that there's uniform blending. Now, if you hold that there's that there is no shear, so then look, if I maintain that there's uniform blending, so that means that every time I go in, I got a little bit of the mechatas on the azov. Got it, because there's blending. So, and if there's no shear, once is enough. Elakasavar hazar tzricha shear. So now we got to go to the place where there is a shear. The ikasavar aim at starfal azov. So now the Gemara says, now let's get to the third point. Now, if you maintain that you can't combine spritzing number one and spritzing number two, dip one and dip two, you can't combine. Even if I go in twice, you don't know yet if you got your shear. Now, at this point of the Gemara, in other words, this last problem that the Gemara is presenting, you don't know if you have a shear. Well, sure you do. Well, sure you do, because if it's a 1-to-1 ratio of tap water to mechatas water, and you dip twice, so you know you got your shear, because the first time you got half the mechatzos, and the second time you got half mechatzos, and one half plus one half equals one. At this point of the Gemara does not yet realize, I guess we'll say it that way, that it's working at a one-to-one ratio. Okay, the Gemara will suggest that in just a moment, but the Gemara is saying, not yet. We don't know that yet.
But the thing is, the Gemara itself is changing its premise. And the second point, they said there was no shear. Now, in the third point, they're saying there is a shear. They're being inconsistent.
The Gemara is saying you have to hold that Rabbi Elazar maintains that there is a shear. Because if there isn't a shear, so then there's no point doing the second one. The first one would be sufficient.
The second point I'm saying is by saying that there is no shear, so if there's no shear, so you sprinkle once, why do you need to sprinkle a second?
Correct. And right. So the Gemara therefore contends there has to be a shear. And then the Gemara then says, okay, even if you maintain there's a shear, dipping twice is not a guarantee. Because even when I dip twice, I don't yet know if I got to my shear, because there may be, I'm just going to throw out numbers. The first dipping may be 40% mechata, 60% tap water. And then the second dipping, same ratio, 40%, 60%. You only got to 80% in my, you know, in my arbitrary numbers that I just threw out at you.
That's important to know how much water went fell.
That's where the Gemara is going with this discussion. Okay?
Might there not be acid
if you have... No, we're going to assume, in the problem the Gemara is setting up, the Gemara is assuming that in the two, I'm going to do one right after the other, and I'll stay focused. Okay, so to this, okay, now, here we go. This is really where we're going to be earning our money today. There are going to be three answers to this problem, meaning, how do you understand Rabbi Eliezer? Chachamim, we do understand, totally. Chachamim hold that there's blending, Chachamim hold that there's a shear, and the Chachamim say one and two can't be combined to make that shear. So that's why you have to throw out the water. A Chachamim, I understand. The remainder of today's daf is going to be, how do you understand Rabbi Eliezer? The problem is, we know what he says, the question is, how do you understand it? What he says is, dip twice, sprinkle twice. So how do you understand it? So solutions 1, 2, and 3, you can count them. We're going to go through them pretty quickly. And then the Gemara will spend the rest of today trying to figure out which of these answers really is correct. Okay, answer number 1. Amrei Shlakish, we go over first proposal. La'olam yesh bila. Rabbi Elazar really holds that there's uniform blending. V'azaz tzrich hashir, and the hazar requires a shir. And over here, you know how much tap water went in. You know that the combination of mechatas to tap water is 50-50. Right? 1-to-1. So that's why you know when you dip your azov in, you got 50% mechatas, 50% tap water. You sprinkled it, okay, and you'll just do it again. Okay, now it's a good pshat. It really doesn't fit into the Mishnah Parah so beautifully. Because the Mishnah Parah, you want to go back, you want to read that Mishnah Parah, that Belazar Omer, now before that, Tzluchish Enafel Esochel Maim Kol Shehu. The Mishnah says any amount of water falls in, and now according to Reish Lakish, it's not really any amount of water.
And Kol Shehu could mean a small amount.
Small,
tiny,
right?
Not any amount.
Okay,
but that's still not 50-50.
Okay, but still,
so that's
understood.
Yes,
you're right. But he's maintaining that the pshat works. Maybe you want to say it's up to achas ba'achas. I understand that, but Reish Lakish is saying that the tarovis is 1-to-1.
Right. So it's even. Okay. The mission says kol shehu, which implies even.
Fine. Fine. Okay. Okay. Good. And so that's answer number 1. So answer number 1 basically plays around with the ratio. Mm-hmm. How much mechatas is kind of mixed up with how much tap water. Answer number 2. Rava amar la'olam yesh bila, v'haza ein tzrich hashir, v'kanas dekans rabban kehechud la'mishtar shlo. Rava gives an ingenious answer. Rava says like this. Really, we're going to hold that there's uniform blending. Okay? So that means now that when I go in, there's going to be whatever ratio there is in that bowl, there's going to be the same ratio. It's going to be representative on the top of the azov. And Rabbi Eliezer holds that there's no shear. Okay, perfect. So now, one is all you need. So why go for a second time? It's a kanas, it's a penalty, it's a rabbinic penalty. Chachamim every now and then impose a kanas, impose some sort of rabbinic penalty, and here it's exactly that, a rabbinic penalty. Why? So Rava says, Kidei shelo ki hecha delo mishtarish lei. It's a funny word, we don't see it in this context that often. Mishtarish lei, Rashi explains over here, means you don't want to profit. Because it's... Because what's happening is, wait a second, I just figured out a way to generate more mechatas. Mm-hmm. Right? Because, again, this is all according to Rabbi Eliezer. The entire daf today is according to Rabbi Eliezer. Right? I just figured out a way to generate more mechatas. Because, look, there's no shear, there's blending. So that means that if I had a little bit of tap water, so as they say in the old country, nishka freilach. It's not a big deal. Because whenever I dip in my azov, I'm going to get mechatas. And there is no sheer how much mechatas I need to sprinkle on the guy or on the girl. So I'm going to go in, dip, sprinkle, and I can generate more chatas by just putting in a little more tap water. Oh, brilliant. And the Chachamim don't want you to do that, understandably. They don't want you playing around with the mechatas, right? Diluting it with a little bit of tap water. So if, in fact, some tap water comes in, so as a kanas, as a penalty, they're going to say, you know what? Whatever profit you got from the extra water, the extra water, you're going to have to dip twice now. Yeah. So the second one is really a knas. It's a penalty.
Hold on. If you're saying that at the first argument, the Chacham said that the water is not good at all, how could they come out and put a penalty on it for its usage that goes...
Again, we're not dealing with the Chacham.
Yeah, we're saying that knas of the Chacham.
Kanasa the Chachamim over here means it's a rabbinic enactment, meaning the sheet of the Chachamim.
They're sanctioning the use of this mixture by putting kanas on it.
Correct.
But the according thing is, in the first place, they're saying don't use this water at all. So how could they come back and say kanas on this?
You are
not use the water at all.
Wait, I understand what you're saying, but you're confusing the opinion of the Chachamim versus the general Gzeira de Rabbanan. Here when he says the Chachamim, right, it doesn't mean the Chachamim of the Mishnah, it means the general rabbinic decree. Meaning, if you sat there in the room with Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim say there's no such thing, there's no such Gzeira de Rabbanan, there's no such Knas.
Right.
According to Rabbi Eliezer, and this is Rava's explanation, there is a Knas de Rabbanan. And you get to the funny part of the discussion where, you know, they're basically saying, did the rabbis impose a kanas or did the rabbis not impose a kanas?
Contradictory. That's the whole thing. It's if you say that the rabbis contradicted, that means they're sanctioning the use of this water.
Okay, all right. Just it's not the chachamim meaning.
No. It's that thing. The kanas should have been an opinion. It doesn't count at all.
Right.
Not to do a second one. That would have been a real kanas.
But
because
not,
he did because he
because he diluted
the water deliberately.
Right.
He got filler. The kanas should have been doesn't count at all.
Okay, so
that.
maybe
no, if it fails by itself,
that may be understand. Okay, good. So what you could suggest now, and I don't know if this is right, but what you could suggest is maybe they both agree, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim agree there is a kanas. It's just a question of what the kanas is, either to sprinkle twice or not to sprinkle at all.
Yeah, if it falls by itself, I can understand.
Fine,
just do it a second time. But if it does it himself, like, you know, if he does it, he puts some water in, the real kanas.
Okay. And finally, the third explanation, Rabbi Eliezer, is Ravashi. Ravashi Amar Ein Bila Yazesh Te Hazos. From the Gemara itself, it is so cryptic what Ravashi is proposing. Look at Rashi. Rashi over here helps us a lot. Hagirsa Hazem Ushubeshe Bisfarim. First of all, Rashi, everyone see where I am? Third wide line down in Rashi. Fourth, one, two, three. Fourth wide line down in Rashi. So Rashi first starts off by saying, look, the Girsan our Gemara, it needs a little bit of work. Now I'm being nice in the way I'm translating Rashi. Rashi over here writes very, very firmly, Agirsa Azumu Shubeshus Basfarim. It's wrong. It's incorrect. We have a corrupt Agirsa of the Gemara. Venir Beinai Dahachi Garcinan. And so Rashi says, right, one of the things that Rashi did, which probably gets undervalued in terms of what Rashi does. Rashi writes a brilliant commentary to the Gemara, right, that we all use every time we're learning the Gemara. Every time I prepare, the first thing I do is I go through Rashi. That's the perush of Rashi and the Gemara. The other thing that Rashi does, which is really the first thing that Rashi does, is he makes sure that the reading of the Gemara, the girsa of the Gemara, is a correct girsa. Okay, and probably not credited enough for doing that. V'nir beinai, and I think, says Rashi, dahachi garsina, Rav Ashi amar, maim kol shutanan, v'ein bila, so number one, we're going to say like this. Rav Ashi agrees. Well, first of all, Rav Ashi makes the dramatic departure from the other two that ain bila, that there is no uniform blending. Okay, so that means that when you have some tap water coming into the mechatas water, I can't assume when I dip my azov in that I'm going to get fair representation. Okay. So that's number one. So that's dramatically different than the first two. It's dramatically different than Rava and than Reish Lakish. Okay, however, he does agree with Rava of Ein Shir, that there's no requisite amount. Umiyu kenasa leislei. So, but however, he doesn't believe in this kenas. He doesn't believe that there's this fine that Rava comes up with. Now, if he held yesh bila that there's uniform blending, so then one would have been enough. If he only would have sprinkled one time, you don't know what's going on. Because of ain bila, because there's no uniform blending, when you dipped in, you may have gotten only the tap water. Once you dip a second time, now you're sure that you got some of the mechatos. Why? Rashi goes on to explain. Now, Phil, right now you're happy. Because that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says it was only a limited amount of tap water that came in. A small amount of tap water. Even if you want to tell me that the first dipping didn't work, at least, you know what the first dipping did? It exhausted all the tap water. Now when I go in a second time, I'm getting mechatos. V'hainu taima delo mishane belishna the nisarvu achas v'achas dim ken hava mashma yeshir lahazal. And that's why, according to Rav Ashi, the third opinion, you don't need the achas v'achas. Because the whole idea of achas v'achas is there's this idea that there's a shir, and Rav Ashi doesn't subscribe to a shir. The yu'ein hazad tzricha shir tzvirlei. Lahachi dak lishan demasin tani kol shehu, de'ein lecha v'azos p'chusa mikan. The yefsha shiyu kol azos halolam n'apsulam v'afilo hen ketanus ma'od l'kam emos n'vlei memasnisan. Perfect. Okay? So according to Rav Ashi, dramatic departures from Reish Lakish and from Rava. Number one, ain bila. First one to say that. Right, that according to Rabbi Elazar, there's no uniform blending. So now that there's Ein Bila, when you dip your Azov in, you don't know what you're getting. But he also holds Ein Shir, that there's no requisite amount. So and it was just one more point to add, only a small amount of tap water came in. So when I dip the first time, I may have gotten Mechatas, I may not have, you don't know, because Ein Bila. But even if you want to talk about worst case scenario, that all that clung to my azov was the tap water, that's great. I dipped the first time, I've exhausted my tap water, I go in a second time, I'm getting mechatas. Okay, that is the explanation of Rav Ashi and explanation of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay? Huh? He doesn't, you don't need, once you hold that there's no shear, you don't have to worry about mitzarif. All you need is a small amount, an iota mechatas, and you're good, and you're done. Okay? We have so far, okay, so let's set ourselves up now, because this is the rest of today's daf. We have ourselves now, Rabbi Eliezer, the Mishnah Parah, who says that you have to sprinkle twice. We have three explanations of how to understand Rabbi Eliezer. Number one, Reish Lakish, who holds, there is uniform blending, Yesh Bila. He says there is a shear. I go in twice because the amount that got mixed in is a one-to-one ratio. Answer number two, Rava. Rava holds, Yesh Bila, there's uniform blending. There is no shear, which means that the first time that you sprinkled was all you needed. The second one is a kenas. And then the third pshat is Ravashi. Ravashi says, there is no uniform blending, right? That's where it's radically different. There's no uniform blending, and there's no shear, and there's only a little amount of water that fell in, which is more, fits in better to the language of the Mishnah and Parah. And even if in the first one I only got the tap water, at least I know that in the second one I'm going to get mechatas. Okay? Answers 1, 2, and 3 in explanation, Rabbi Eliezer.
Do you know how we get cut water? How do you get that?
Maim Chaim comes from natural spring water, and you spray, and then you put in the ashes of the paraduma, and then good. Okay, first of all, like this. Okay, just shortly from here until the rest of today's da, the rest of this amud, I should say. Okay, next three lines of Gemara. Question: Reish Lakish, Meisvei, Rebbe Omer. This is a statement of Rebbe. This is a Tosefta from Parah, which is Rebbe who's explaining Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Omer, the Divrei Rebbe Eliezer, Hazar Kol Shu Metaharis. You see that you don't need a shear; any amount works. Hazar Ein Tzrich Hashir. Okay. There is no shear. Hazam mechza kasher mechza pasal. You can have on your azov a little bit of kasher water, a little bit of non-kasher water, and it's fine and it's all good. Okay. That's difficult because Reish Lakish was you know how I'm going to explain Rabbi Eliezer. There is a shear, and I'm dipping twice in order to get to that shear. So you read this Tosefta, which is Rebbe's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer. Now that's pretty good, meaning Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, his understanding of Rabbi Eliezer, and clearly he's not agreeing with Reish Lakish, which you could say, well, Reish Lakish argues with Rabbi, that's kind of hard to say that. Rabbi's a Tana, right? And this is his understanding of Rabbi Eliezer. That's difficult for Reish Lakish. The Gemara does not make an attempt to defend Reish Lakish. Okay, so I guess you could say now we're down to two. that's a simple pshat. Okay, now turn page. Va'od, and furthermore, now from here till somewhere in the middle of the next amud, Pei Aleph, we're going to be attacking Ravashi, because Ravashi is really the most radical of positions in explaining Rabbi Eliezer. He holds that, you know what Rabbi Eliezer's position is? Ein Bila, that there is no uniform blending. Okay, and from this point forward, what we are going to do is we're gonna test the waters literally over here, and we're gonna see whether or not this position of Ein Bila is in fact a tenable explanation of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, and this is why, right? You wondered yesterday. We continue wondering today. Why is this discussion over here? Because remember, it all jumps off our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talked about a case where bloods got mixed together. Mm-hmm. Blood of Ola get mixed up with blood of Bechor. Blood of a Chatas gets mixed up with blood, right? And all the bloods get mixed together. And the Mishnah very simply says, okay, just spritz onto the Mizbeach. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, there's considerations of Baal Tosif, there's considerations of Baal Tigra, but just spritz on the Mizbeach. Our Mishnah seems to be of the position that there is uniform blending. Now, you want to tell me that our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Eliezer? That's difficult, because Rabbi Eliezer is right in our Mishnah. Okay, so basically now, from here until the rest of today, we're going to use our Mishnah as a springboard, as really a launching pad to attack Ravashi. Gemara is going to do an interesting thing. It's going to not quote from our Mishnah, it's first going to quote from our Braisa. We haven't seen this Braisa yet. The Braisa is essentially the same as our Mishnah. I guess the Gemara likes the language of the Braisa better. All right, you'll see. Okay, the Ode. Tanya. We learned in a Braisa. The Hedja specifically like this. Hanitana lamalish and esarva minitana lamata. You have blood get mixed together. Chatos blood and Ola blood. Remember, Chatos goes above the Chutas Sikra. Ola goes below the Chutas Sikra. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. So here, it is Rabbi Eliezer. There's no sidestepping this. Right, Rabbi Elazar Amar Yite Lamal V'Tachanim Alolam. So, what do you do? So, you take your mixed blood and you start off with an application at the top. Okay, it's the same thing we learned yesterday in our Mishnah. Again, the Braisa is being used over here because the language is just very strong. V'Tachanim. I'm sorry, Yite Lamal V'Tachanim Alolam. So, do the application above, and then you're going to end up doing the application below. So the Gemara says, if you want to tell me that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's Ein Bila, there's no uniform blending, how in the world do you know which blood went where? If there's uniform blending, I know that when I dip my finger into this bowl of blood, I know that I got representation. I got a fair representation on my finger of what's in the bowl. So if in the bowl is Olan Chatas, I got on my finger, Olan Chatas. That's if I hold Yesh Bila. But if I hold Ein Bila, when I dip my finger in the bowl, I may only got Ola blood on my fingers. So how do I know? So the Gemara now, in defense of Rav Ashi, now a lot of these answers are not gonna be so smooth, because what the Gemara is now going to do for the rest of this Amud is it's going to try to defend Rav Ashi. So you're not going to fall in love with a lot of these answers, understandably, but this is all in defense. Hacha b'mayiskinen can go into ikar ruba elyonim v'kayayv lamal l'shir tachtonim va'od. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we're talking about the following scenario. Maybe when I had the bloods got mixed up together, majority of it was Chata's blood. A minority of it was Ola blood, meaning I know that that was the mixture. And so what I did on the top was I... Because remember, we're all working within the Rav Ashi framework of Ein Bila. So what I did is I kept applying until I applied the majority of the mixture. So even if I don't know what blood is on my finger, when I finish doing the majority of this bowl, I know that even if you want to tell me, worst case scenario, it was Ola blood, Ola blood, Ola blood, eventually I'm going to exhaust the Ola blood, and I'll get to the Chata's blood, right, and I'll do the top.
But can you do that when you sprinkle?
Remember, Rabbi Eliezer says any blood that are not necessary,
like water,
we could treat it like water.
Right, always go on the top.
Can you do the sprinkle on the same?
Can you just keep going?
Yeah. You don't have to do it once.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
When
yes.
When Rashi says in Bila, does it mean that you're not allowed to mix it up yourself? Because if you mix it up yourself,
I also wonder the same thing as well. Is there going to ever be a point where if you're in the camp of Ein Bila, you put in the blender and you're right? I don't know.
Sure,
can you imagine there being a blender in the Beis HaMikdash?
Yeah.
Let's go. Hatachtonim alulo. Just one second. Hatachtonim alulo. Okay, but the Gemara says that's it's aside from it being a difficult shot. Also, in the Braisa it says you're going to do an application on the top, and you'll do an application on the bottom, and the application on the bottom is going to work. Well, the Gemara says, wait a second, right? Didn't you use up majority of your blood on the top portion of the... What does it mean that the application on the bottom is going to work? So the Gemara says, L'shem Shirayim. Oh, it'll work as Shirayim for the Chatas.
But not for the bottom.
But in other words, but for the Ola blood, it's a helfnisht. It's not going to help you. Yes, correct. Correct. Well, some of the Chatas blood worked. So just right. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's try this again. And here's what we're going to do. We're just going to plow our way through this Braisa. It's the first time we're being introduced to the Braisa. You know, we're getting introduction to this Braisa in segments. We're going to make our way through this Braisa, and we're going to see, does this Braisa really support a concept of Ein Bila, as Rav Ashi is insisting? Nasan lamata v'lo nimlach. So what if the first thing you did is you did an application below, which is really not what you should have done, according to Rabbi Lazar. As we learned back in our Mishnah, you start off with the mixed blood at the top. And remember, I explained yesterday, the reason why you start at the top is because we'll learn in the 10th parak, now I'm saying it correctly today, we'll learn in the 10th parak that Chatas has Kedima over Ola. So you start in the top, you take care of your Chatas blood, and then you go to the bottom, then you take care of the Ola blood. What if the Kohen forgot? You know, how many times this is coming up anyway, where Chatas and Ola blood get mixed up together? And what if he started at the bottom? So Rabbi Lazar Omer, this is part of the Braisa, Yachsav Yitein Lamala V'Tachtonim Olulo. So you go and you apply in the top, and the Tachtonim Olulo and the Tachtonim work. So again, if you held Yesh Bila, that there's uniform blending, it's all good. Right? This entire Braisa is wonderful. But if you hold Ein Bila, so you have no idea. You have no idea what you applied on the bottom part of the Mizbeach. And then you're going back to the top and you do an application on the top and you don't know what blood you just came on your finger as you dipped your finger into the bowl of blood. You don't know. So how do you understand this bright stuff? And again, the Gemara gives a very similar defense as to what he gave previously. Hachanami Beruba al Yonim. We're talking about a case where the majority of blood in this mixture happens to be Chata's blood. V'kayav lamal ashir tachtonim va'od. And then what you did is, the Kohen first did an application on the lower part. You say to the Kohen, that wasn't right. Go to the top. Use most of the blood on the top. Even if we hold Ein Bila, at least you'll get rid of all your Ola blood on the top. Remember, this is Rabbi Eliezer who says, any blood that's unnecessary, we could just simply view as water. And then, you're going to get to the point where it's going to be Chatas blood. And that's how you do an application of the Chatas blood. Give me a moment. I'm sorry. Oh, saving a beaut. V'hatachtonim alulo. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it says tachtonim. And the tachtonim work. And again, the Gemara says same thing. In defense of Rav Ashi, it means that the shiraim of the chatas work. Okay. Tashma. Try it again. Again, we're just going to continue in this brisa. Let's say you apply to the top first, without the coin, didn't ask any questions. So elu ve'elu modim shiachsu v'yitei lamata. They both agree that you could do it below. Who's elu ve'elu? Who's these and these? Meaning even the chacham. You remember back in our Mishnah, the chachamim say, what do you do with this mixture? The chachamim say, throw it out. Once the coin, right, without asking, once his rogue coin said, you know, I'm going to start with the top. Once he started with the top, and then he asked, even the chachamim would say, okay, you shouldn't have done that, but now that we're here, you can finish off. V'yitei lamata. Ve'elu ve'elu alulo. And elu ve'elu alulo. And they both work. Oh, listen to the braisa. Elu ve'elu. They both work. Now the Gemara says, hachinami. So again, the Gemara is defending Rav Ashi. Beruba elyona b'kayav lamalashir tachtona va'od. Okay. The Gemara says, look, right, we know this defense already. The Gemara uses the same move. V'ha elu ve'elu alalo ketani, but the braisa says elu ve'elu, which means the chatas blood and the ola blood. So mi ketani elu ve'elu modim, elu ve'elu alalo. Yeah, but if you read the braisa really carefully, the braisa says elu ve'elu alalo. It doesn't say elu ve'elu modim. So the Gemara says at this point, ketani seifa asan l'rabbanan. That last segment of the braisa is just expressing the view of the Rabbanan Dami Yesh Bila. They for sure maintain Yesh Bila. So that last part of the braisa is only representing the Chachamim's viewpoint that, yes, because we hold uniform blending, and because he did spritz on the top and he spritzed on the bottom, Elu Ve'elu. Okay, they both work. And according to Rabbi Lezer, only the top would work. Okay, Tashma. Okay, fine, period. Okay? And that is, we've gone through the Braisa, and the Gemara, with some success, has defended Rav Ashi's position that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Ein Bila. Okay, now, our next move. Okay, we're still going to be doing the same thing. It's an attack on Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi holds that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Ein Bila, that there is no uniform blending. And now we go to our Mishnah. And we're going to do the same thing. We're going to keep questioning Rav Ashi based on our Mishnah. Let's go. So our Mishnah deals with a very simple case. Blood of a Bechor, which only needs one application, gets mixed up with blood of Meiser Behema, which only needs one application. So what does our Mishnah do? Give one application, and you're fine. Now, I amart ein bila amay nanu b'matana achas. So the Gemara says, yeah, if you hold that there's ein bila, so then why one application? Because in that one application, you don't know what's going on. You don't know which blood you're getting. You may be getting only the Bechor blood. You may be getting only the Meiser Behema blood. You don't know. So how can you only give one application? The Gemara spells it out. You don't know which blood's going on. And the Gemara says, Kigon shenesarvu achas ba'achas. So the Gemara's answer is, Kigon shenesarvu achas ba'achas. Now Rashi over here writes, and this is debatable, it's controversial, but Rashi over here writes, about six lines from the bottom of the page, achas ba'achas, shir matana mizeh v'shir matana mizeh. Okay, what the Gemara's answer is that, yeah, even though it sounds like from the Mishnah you only give one application, it means one application per. One application per Bechor blood, one application per Meiser Behema blood. The Ketani, I'm reading Rashi, Yinanu Matana Achas, and when the Mishnah says that you do one Matana, Bishvil Kol Echad Ka'amar, it means for each you do one Matana. Dahanu Shte Matanos, Denim Su Shte B'Mizbeach. It means that you apply it twice. Again, it, as I mentioned in the beginning of this whole discussion, doesn't really fit into the language of the Mishnah. Doesn't really sound like, well, that's what the Mishnah is saying. But again, we're all trying to defend Rav Ashi in his position of Ein Bila. Let's continue. Matan Arba, B'matan Arba. So the Gemara goes to the next case of our Mishnah, where I had blood of an Ola get mixed up with blood of another Ola, or blood of an Ola gets mixed in with blood of Shlamim, where both of them require Shtayim Shehin Dalet. Right? Two corners, four walls. So the Gemara says, Hachana Mishnas Arbu Arba Ba'arba. So again, the Gemara says, we're talking about a case where you had a limited mixture of only four and four. And again, Rashi, same thing. When it says that you only do four applications, it means you do four applications per. Four for this one and four for this one. Okay. Matan arba b'matana achas. We get to the last part of the Mishnah. We're really the more exciting part of the Mishnah, where you have a blood that only requires one application gets mixed up with a blood that requires four applications. Now remember, in our Mishnah that we learned yesterday, major machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua, Baal Tigra versus Baal Tosif. Rabbi Eliezer says you do four applications. Rabbi Yoshua says you do one application. And then the accusations start flying. Rabbi Yoshua, you're in violation of Baal Tigra. And Rabbi Yoshua says to Rabbi Eliezer, good, and you're in violation of Baal Tosif, and good. That was yesterday's Mishnah. V'chitema, but right now, we're just interested in Rav Ashi. And Rav Ashi's supposition that Ein Bila, that there's no uniform blending. So matan arba matana achas v'chi teima. Now, what do you want to tell me over here? So I have bloods get mixed up. Ola blood with a bechor blood, blood that requires four with blood that requires one. Now, if there is no blending, so how in the world do you know what's going on? Mm-hmm. You have no idea what just happened when you apply the blood to the corner. V'chi teima. Maybe you want to tell me hachanami minister ba'achas. And maybe you want to tell me, like you've been telling me over here, it's a very limited mixture. Like in the one and one, it was exactly one and one. Four and four, it was exactly four and four. Over here, one, four and one is exactly 1-to-4 ratio. Ihachi. So the Gemara says that's very difficult. Because Amar lo Rabbi Yoshua harei over Abba Tosif. Because remember, the accusations were, so Amar lo Rabbi Yoshua, harehu over b'Baal Tosif. Rabbi Yoshua, aren't you violating Baal Tosif? Right? Hacha, Baal Tosif mehecha. Where's the Baal Tosif over here? You have exact amounts.
No, but you're playing four times for one.
But...
that's so Baal Tosif. You're playing four times for one.
The other ones, so not Baal Tosif.
If you only have one amount...
You did five altogether.
You did five, right.
There's no more blood.
You're right, right. It's all you got. Okay, v'hacha, hacha b'altosim eicha, ela amarava, so. The Gemara now is going to make a dramatic departure. Meaning, look, we've spent now an entire Amud, all of Pei Amud Beis, was all an attempt to defend Rav Ashi, because Rav Ashi holds Ein Bila. That there is no uniform blending, at least according to Rabbi Eliezer, right? Not at least. According to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no Bila, there's no uniform blending. And what bothered us was this whole discussion of when the bloods get mixed up together. So Rava says, look, maybe we're, you know, keep hitting our head against the wall, so maybe you should just move directions. So you don't just keep hitting your head against the wall. So Rava says, Ela Marava, Bibalo lo pligi. Look, if the bloods get mixed up together, so in one bowl, so there really is no machlokus. Ki pligi bekosos. Mm-hmm. Oh. The whole machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua is only when the cups got mixed up together. That's the machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua, and that's how we understand the you're violating Baal Tosif. Well, you're violating Baal Tigra, because now you take a cup and you don't know. Is this cup a matan echad cup or is it a matan dalet? So I don't know. So Rabbi Elazar says, okay, so walk around the mizbeach and just keep going. And Rabbi Yoshua says to him, wait a second, you can't do that. That's Baal Tosif. Okay, good. That's the whole machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Elazar is now, according to Rabbi Elazar, why am I walking around the mizbeach? because Islay Rowan, because he holds of this very, very unique position of Rowan. Because every time I walk around the Mizbeach, look, if I don't need it, I treat it like water. I view it like water. So for Rebbe Lazar, just walk around the Mizbeach. And according to Rabbi Yoshua doesn't maintain it, doesn't hold this concept of Rowan. So therefore, you take the cups and you do only one application. There's a cup over here that requires four. Good, I know it requires four. But as we've learned from the fourth parak and onward, one application is sufficient. One application does the job. And because I may be in violation of Baal Tosif, I just stop at one. And I don't hold of this concept of Rowan, so it doesn't allow me the ability to go around the Mizbeach. But if the bloods got mixed together, in Achinami, absolutely, there would be no machlokus between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yoshua.
And they would both go around?
And they would both... And right, and what would they do? I guess you would say that according to Rav Ashi, they know, they would, because Ein Bila, because there's no uniform blending.
And they would both just put it in the beginning?
I guess they would just go into one corner and they just keep spritzing that one corner.
Uh-huh.
I have to think that through a little bit better, a little bit more.
I don't have the
Steinsaw
today.
Okay, fine. I don't know. All right. So, Isle Ron, Lyser Ron. Or so the Gemara says that now, this is Rava. Now, what Rava did is just basically shift our entire attention. We've been assuming, right? Probably correctly. We've been assuming that this whole discussion over here is when the bloods got mixed up, and Rava says, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe over here we're talking about where it's only where the cups got mixed up. That's the whole machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua. The Gemara says, is that really true? Vavala lo pligi v'hatanya. The Gemara says, how about this? I have a braisa, and the braisa reads like this: Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Look, this braisa reflects Rabbi Yehuda's view of the machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua. That was a mouthful, right? But in other words, this braisa is not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah does not present this view. That's fine. Okay, Rav Yehuda disagrees with our Mishnah. This is not Rav Yehuda Nasi. This is Rav Yehuda. This is Rav Yehuda Eli. So his position is that according to Rav Elazar and the Chachamim, if bloods of Chatas and Ola get mixed together, you offer it. If blood of Rova Venirva get mixed up, you don't offer it. Where blood of a perfect animal, meaning a qualified animal, gets mixed up with the blood of a blemished animal. So Rav Elazar Amar Yakriv, Bein Babalo, Bein Bekosos, whether the bloods got mixed up, whether the cups got mixed up, the Chachamim Amrim Lo Yikrav, and the Chachamim say, do not offer it. So the Gemara says, look, I know that Rav Yehuda is not our Mishnah, because our Mishnah does not frame it all this way. But at least what you get from Rav Yehuda is that whether it's cups or whether the bloods got mixed up, they're arguing. And you want to tell me, you, Rava, want to tell me that our Mishnah is only talking about when the cups get mixed up? From this braisa, you don't get that picture. So the Gemara answers very simply, Rav Yehuda, Ali, but the Rav Elazar, Masni, Ben Bebala, Ben Bekosos. V'Rabbanan Bekosos, fleeking. Look, all you showed me is Rav Yehuda's version of the Machlokas. It could very well be that our Mishnah, which is not expressing Rav Yehuda's version of the Machlokas, which is showing us the majority of the rabbis who oppose Rav Yehuda, so they, I'll just simply say that they hold that the Machlokas is only by Kosos, not by the blood getting mixed up. Okay, Amar Abaye. All right, and I guess this is pretty much it. Meaning, at this point in time now, it's pretty much, we have spent an amud and a half of Gemara, it's a lot, all defending Rav Ashi's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so let's just wrap it up and we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Okay, so we have our Mishnah and Parah. The Mishnah and Parah talks about tap water getting mixed up with Mechatas water. What do you do with that mixture of tap water and Mechatas water? The Chachamim say throw it out. Okay? And why, according to the Chachamim? Because they maintain that there's bilat, that there's uniform blending, and they require a shear, and I can't combine Hazar one with Hazar two together. So I have to throw it out. There's nothing to do with it. What about Rabbi Eliezer? He says sprinkle it twice. Rav Ashi maintains that sprinkling it twice. Why? Because Rav Ashi gives us the radical position that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Ein Bila, that there is no uniform blending of the bloods. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, we're talking about only when there's a little bit of tap water that fell in. And therefore, when I spritzed once, even worst case scenario, I got tap water. And when I spritz again, I'm going to get the mechatos water. That is Rav Ashi's understanding of the Mishnah Para. And then for the balance of today's daf, we then dissected both at Braisa and our Mishnah, and it seems from both that really, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, Yesh Bila, that there really is uniform blending. That certainly seems to be the flavor of both the Braisa and the Mishnah. And in defense of Rav Ashi, essentially what the Gemara says, what Rava says, is that maybe our Mishnah is only talking about where cups got mixed up together. And if you assume that, so then our Mishnah doesn't pose any problem whatsoever to Rav Ashi. It doesn't seem that that is the simple pshat of our Mishnah, where our Mishnah is talking about where cups got mixed up together. Okay, so as I mentioned, in defense of Rav Ashi, we will say answers that seem a little bit dochik, but the Gemara obviously feels very motivated to defend Rav Ashi's viewpoint.
Okay. Why are they so motivated to defend Rav Ashi?
Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish got dismissed in two lines. It's right. You're right. Reish Lakish got dismissed in two lines of Gemara.
I understand it was pretty clear from that.
From the statement of Rebbe.
Right.
Right. Correct. Correct.
Could have come up with some doche.
Right.
Ravashi. Right. The Gemara.
Right. A lot of real estate. A lot of real estate for Ravashi. A lot of real estate.
For a difficult position.
Agreed.